It is so well defined. What we have to do today, we got to go to work.
We got to do.
Hey everyone, NFL in London back, of course. A little spring break, as we all do. We're all waiting. But now we're back. NFL news going on, and of course, it is episode 299 for Ryan and us, which means in episode 300 we'll do something special. Maybe we'll talk. Go ahead.
I was sitting there the last couple of weeks. It's been really boring, and I've been kind of bored with the NFL. and nothing exciting's happened. And I haven't listened to any Bills podcasts because it's just been off. And now, look at this. I have been just filling myself, putting it in my veins, all this Bills talk about Stephon Diggs, baby. Stephon Diggs.
Well, I'm glad you're filling yourselves. And we're going to all our fans out there, we are going to get into video. I know people have asked. We will get into video. We have been dads, and
we're just gonna work on our
it's scheduling, and it's you guys don't even want to see some of it half the time, but we will get into it, and it's more of a dedicated 300 after 300 episodes we finally will.
We wanted to just check it out, see if it works, do 300 episodes.
Everyone else in the world does make a decision. YouTube is the largest platform for podcasts, and we're not on it, so we know that. And we're listening. Speaking of listening, Diggs, let's listen up here. Because the deal turns out, and the way it turns out, it seemed good at first until you realize later, now the Texans sort of ate a bunch of donuts on this one. You know, like, it seems like they got him, and then they had to listen to him, like, for, it's like getting a new, like a rescue puppy that turns out to be an XL bully, and it rips up the seat. You're like, okay, here's what we're going to do.
It's like they traded for him, and then they met him. They're like, no, we're just going to make this a one.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Let's just make it a year. We're just going to pay you off. Man.
We're just going to bang.
Just a one-night stand. $22.5 million guaranteed for 2024. As a result, buying out his $31 million deal, making him a free agent in 2025. And the Texans pretty much only gave away the pick that Minnesota gave them.
But that's going to be probably pretty top, like probably you would think top 10 in the second round pick, which is a pretty good pick. And if you think about it from the Bills' perspective, like, even though everyone's like, oh my God, if you think about what, you know, Keenan Allen went for a fourth, you know, Amari Cooper went for a fifth. I think if you told me you could trade like a first 4 years ago, get four incredible seasons of Stephon Diggs, and then trade him for a high second, like that is good return, I think.
And not have to eat the 31. I mean, that's the big deal. That's what turns this into worse, like a Deshaun deal. Like, what are you thinking? Like, it must have been like that's the most expensive meeting in history. Like, they literally decided to, instead of like having to, like, someone else is going to pay 31. They're like, you know what? We're going to pay 22.5 just to be done with it.
Well, that tells you everything, doesn't it? Right? Doesn't that tell you everything that you need to know? Like, they just clearly just do not want this guy in the locker room or anything around people. If you're willing to just eat $30 million just to not have a guy on your team, like, that just tells me, I think, everyone in the organization, at least, like, probably Josh Allen as well, probably okayed it, because, you know, I can't imagine if he had said, no, you can't do that, they still would have done it. I think he was okay with it. And I think, again, you got to remember, these are 31-year-old receivers, and they can just drop. Like, we saw it with Julio Jones. Stephon Diggs, the last 10 out of 100-yard game since week six, you know, and one of his things, that constant frustration amongst Bills fans, is on the elimination games, all the games against Kansas City, the ones that they've been in Cincinnati, is that he just never showed up. Constant, like 30 yards, 20 yards, constantly in the big game. And I just think when the Bills are looking at it all, and the tweets, and the constantly being asked about, is Stephon Diggs okay, and seeing the production go down, they just figured, and seeing what Kansas City did, and I think they're just like, we can replace this. I don't think, from a Buffalo, I think they did the Patriots strategy, whereas you get rid of a guy a year early because it's going to be a big fall. And I think even Houston's probably thinking the same thing. Like, he's only got one more year left in him. So They're asking a lot, because I think one thing is, now that you've gotten rid of those extra years, you've put a lot of emphasis on Stefon Diggs having a good year this year, because he's going to want a new contract going in. So he's going to want the ball. He's going to want it fed to him. And he's not the number one guy on that team. So it's going to be a little fascinating experiment. I still think he's got something left in the tank, but I think most Bills fans are fine with it. And I think it's just time to move on. And I can see the Bills doing a big move up in the draft with this.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it seems that as an aging wide receiver, his ego is bigger than his results. And his frustration might be that, you know, whatever the Bills and whatever. So this $22.5 million that's being paid off to him, and again, to your point, that he better be the top one or in the top three wide receivers this year. If he thinks he's going to get paid in 2025, he better be better than Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. No, but that's it. I mean, like, seriously, he's getting paid $22.5 million, and he's going to be a free agent. So if he really wants to, at 32, be delivering like Mike Evans, you know?
Yeah. Mike Evans is the better example, I think, because he's going to be the, but, and I don't think Stefon Diggs, the thing about Diggs is that he's not a big, like, after yards after the catch guy. He's a good possession ball, good, but he's not a burner. And the thing with Houston is they have the slot guy in Tank Dell. Nico Collins is the burner. So it's just, with Dalton Schultz, who caught a lot of balls, and Joe Mixon's going to catch some balls. Is there enough for Stefon Diggs, who's been the guy in Buffalo, the man, the top dog? Is he going to be okay with being the second, maybe some games third option that CJ Stroud goes? And knowing that if he doesn't have a good game, this could affect his salaries going forward. I don't know. I think Houston's putting a lot on this to work, and it could backfire, but it could also really work. It's just going to have to be.
Yeah, no, it turned into sort of a butt plug in this one, as just because of that whole turnaround. At first, you're like, okay, Buffalo's going to eat the 31. And then, you know, just a couple of days later, it's like, ooh, what the hell? It's going to be a big emphasis on him to really have to deliver in this one. And as you say, because, you know, with Houston, they still can, there's still the draft, you know, like, there's still, they could grab a good wide receiver, and suddenly it's like, ooh, gets crowded. And training camp, it turns into, it's like, hey, have you seen this 23-year-old kid?
Yeah. And they're putting a lot of faith in guys like who are kind of teams other teams have given up on, you know, like Joe Mixon. Is Joe Mixon really at the top of his game right now? And you know, Stefon Diggs. And now, are these kind of aging vets going to work well with the young guys? So I think Houston's going with a weird strategy, because I still think they're going to be favorites. But again, we don't really know what's going to happen. We've seen second years. You know, I think, you know, like, everyone's going to be kind of secretly being like, you know, other than Kansas City, like, Houston's now the team that's going to compete. And that's a lot of pressure on a young quarterback in a team like that that kind of just came out of nowhere last year. And now everyone's going to be ready for them. There's going to be, I think Houston's the most fascinating team next year in the whole NFL to see how good they're going to be, how much is Stroud going to take? Because he had a pretty great rookie year. Is there even a bigger leap in the next year? And I mean, that would be asking a lot to have a significant leap after that.
I mean, it's frustrating as a Bears fan, because essentially we've been rebuilding at the same time, and to watch them sort of ascend that quickly and to grab that core of talent really points to our head office and sort of going, well, okay, we had Fields, we had all these things. It's like the gang who can't shoot straight, you know, like, well, what's going on with this? Because even if we get Caleb, whatever he decides to call himself, he might decide to change it. Whatever happens there, it's going to be, are we putting him in a toxic environment anyway? Are we putting him in somewhere it's doomed to fail? And Houston has a lot of, you know, they've got the coaching right. They seem to be making the right moves. Everything in the head office seems to be moving in the right direction. And also, you know, the division is a lot weaker than the Bears division, but still frustrating.
Yeah.
Bills, you know, here's the other question I have the Bills then as well, because you got nothing really in the draft going on, and you need wide receivers now. You need someone right. to throw to. So there's no capital to move up. You got no space to move up in the draft. Are you just going to hope to grab a bunch of broken toys? Are you going to grab someone old? Do you think they'll just, who are they going to grab to fill that in?
I think they're like, you don't make this move without there being a plan in place. Like, you don't just give away your number one receiver and just have no way to keep going in with, you know, Curtis Samuel. I think the fact that
was Khalil he your number Shakir one was, though? Was he your number one? Was he number one in yards last year? Was he?
Yeah, he was first in yards. Yeah. He still got like 100 balls, but he only had 1,100 yards. And down the stretch, Khalil Shakir became the number one receiver. Dalton Kincaid was getting a lot of balls.
Yeah.
And I think the Bills just feel that I think they definitely want to get younger. I think without a doubt, they probably will move up in the first round at some point. If someone falls, you could see them be aggressive. You know, there's even talk, would they consider doing like a Julio Jones trade up, you know, for years ago, going from like 28 to like top 10, giving mm-hmm. next year's first. And again, if someone falls, I could see them doing that. I think they want to get that kind of stud number one to go along with these other complementary pieces. But I definitely think there's a plan in place. I don't think you go into this and maybe you go draft two young receivers in the first two rounds, like we've seen with what the Packers did. The Packers strategy, where they just kind of loaded up, you know, Jalen Reed, Dobbs, Christian Watson, just kept giving these guys chances. And now, a couple of years later, they're starting to kind of work together. And now they look like this young nucleus of weapons. So, and I think you're also just seeing that teams who are winning the Super Bowls, a lot of times it's never the best receiver in football ever wins the Super Bowl. Like, when was the last time that happened?
I mean, look at KC. Jerry Rice.
Right? Because it's so many other things that come into play. And I think seeing what Kansas City did, like, you can win a Super Bowl with you just got to be able to get some guys. Like, it's like the money ball thing, right? You just got to get on base. You just got to find guys that can get on base. And that's what the Bills need to do. Just find the guys that can kind of replace Diggs. And I think, you know, 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns is not asking a ton to replace, considering.
It's interesting as well because, you know, everyone is going really QB heavy in this draft. And when you start looking at it, you know, there are so many great wide receivers and that can go in round 1, 2, even 3. There's, you know, a lot of chance for people. There's going to be, I think, a few breakouts this year to challenge. You know, there was a Puka last year, but there's going to be a new Puka or even two. It's all going to be who you pair it with. I mean, Matt Stafford found Puka. And I mean, you know, let's say Puka, if he was with, you know, any other quarterback, you know, if he was with maybe Trevor Lawrence, he wouldn't have been as dynamic. Matt Stafford, who can air out the ball, who can find the deep ball. So it's going to be, you know, finding those, you know, and if Patrick Mahomes, who knows, they're probably just looking at going, yeah, we're good. And if he doesn't, Nick Foles.
Patrick Mahomes himself might be needing a new receiver coming up. Because from what happened with Rashid Rice.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, Carson Wentz. Sorry, Carson, I was joking, Nick Foles, but it's Carson Wentz is
back. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It would be funny, though, if Nick Foles. Buffalo Bills re-signed offensive tackle Collins for 1 year. That's good. You need some protection. Well,
it's good to have depth. You got to have some depth. It could be starting guard. I think you pay a guy $7 million a year. Yeah. You're kind of thinking he's probably going to start. So, hey, more what you need in the NFL, trust me, is you need lots of offensive linemen. So that's the one thing. You can never have too many.
Well, I mean, especially now. I mean, bringing us to that. I mean, Kelsey's gone. So Jordan Mulata. You know, part of the international program, this is a former rugby player who we'll get into Reese Zammit after this, but Jordan Mulata signed a 3-year, $66 million deal, making him the fourth highest paid offensive tackle, $48 million guaranteed, $20 million signing bonus. And basically, you know, this is, you know, they're understanding the team that Philadelphia is building. this guy's important. You know, keeping, you know, part of what kept Jalen Hurts, you know, going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago was having a good offensive line that they could run a lot of stuff through. They could tush push. They could do a lot of things. So, you know, obviously losing Kelsey's big, but paying Mulata big money, you know, and it's good.
Former
rugby player and good international program. And also going on to that, because Luis Rees-Zammit, Welsh rugby player. Obviously, everyone knows the dynamic and everyone in the UK, very excited about him. Signed a 3-year deal, but it's a practice squad deal. He makes £9,500 a week, which is fine. But
I mean, he's going to make more on the practice squad than he would if he played on the best rugby league, I would assume.
Which is kind of crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of crazy that $9,500
a week. But I think the Chiefs are signing him, I think, because of the new NFL, like the new kickoff rule. I think.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
Him, especially with rugby, it feels very like a rugby run. And this is a guy who they even did at his top speed in a rugby match was faster than Tyreek Hill's top speed.
Well, he had no pads, no helmet.
Yeah, I know. But I'm still saying, still running 24 miles an hour. It's still fast.
He's very fast. Yeah. And I was going to bring that up because you're totally right. And I think with the new rules, the new kickoff rules, special teams, because before, you know, the international people were brought in for special teams. Hey, you're a kickoff returner. Let's see what you can do. Let's see what you can do with blocking. Now special teams means a lot more. And it is that rugby element. So I think, you know, this is going to be something, and it could open up. You know, the American tanks rolling into rugby to grab, you know, to players like this. If, you know, for the practice squad, and if they use him and try the new kickoff rules, and I'm sure everyone is going to be doing this and practicing it, you know, during the preseason. And he works out well. Yeah, man, if you set up and he helps, because he'll help with the rugby coaching in a way and go, hey, guys, if we do this, and this, I mean – he could be a real valuable asset to them in having someone with sort of a rugby acumen. So I'm excited. I'm actually, it was one of those things I was sort of like, ah, oh, I felt bad because maybe before he'd be one of those guys that sort of goes in and sort of
just lashes out. Years of
but time. Now with the new kickoff rules, this could be a real chance for him, especially with the Chiefs, man, like to go from rugby to maybe potentially winning another Super Bowl because they're looking stacked again. But man, good on him. I'm excited. Good for Wales, good for England, good for everyone in the UK and rugby and for that. So it'll be exciting. But
Yeah, well, it'd be exciting for one of these guys actually, like from this program, go and do something as well, because it's all good to have this program. But if no one ever gets out of it successfully, massively,
well, Jordan Mulata.
Yeah, I know we have none, but I mean, we need more examples of it, especially what I mean, like these weapons, like kind of like a guy who's actually, again, a big offensive lineman, you could do that. That's great. But I want to see a guy who is actually like has kind of some speed to see what he can do that kind of shows that maybe people will start looking now to rugby a bit more. So I do. I hate that he's on the Chiefs, you know, with my family being Welsh. So this is double upsetting. So, but I'm glad he's there. I hope he does good things, except when he plays the Bills.
I think it's going to be difficult because, I mean, if you look at the success rate, I mean, the international program, and it's fantastic that they're bringing in players from around the world, different disciplines. But the success rate, you can't expect it to be high, because if you look at probably the success rate of even the top college players that actually do well in the NFL, the amount of, if you look at even some of the past drafts, the top 10 people that actually are still busting in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough game. So, I mean, it's an opportunity, but the expectation level that one person is actually going to thrive and survive after maybe even 3 years.
Yeah. He's about to be humbled in practice a few times, I bet.
Oh, damn straight. And well, I mean, it's so competitive.
Yeah.
I think the big thing, especially joining the Chiefs, is they're going to have a lesson, and it should be a mandatory lesson for all young NFL players. Do you drive? Do you like to drive drunk? Do you like to drive high? You know, there should be something in the contract.
Like to drive recklessly.
Maybe they're just given $5,000 in Uber credits. And it's like, don't drive. Just don't grab a Lambo and race it down a highway and crash into people.
And then run away.
And then run away. It wasn't me.
And then saying, like, I take full responsibility. It's like, no, you didn't. You ran away.
His lawyers took full responsibility. Because the first thing he probably did was call a lawyer and call the Chiefs.
I mean, I don't really know what's going to happen with this, because like that is some serious shit. And like to you know, that yeah, there's video of it. Video of them running away. The NFL cannot like, you know, one game this and just be like, they, especially with what happened with runs, with someone dying, and just to then see how incredibly reckless they're. Like, I can't even imagine, like, the Chiefs, especially with what's happened with, you know, the Chiefs and Andy Reid's son years ago. It's like this constant.
No, the driving. It's the driving it home. Because I think there's got to be an intervention to them, because this continually happens. Every offseason, some dumbass drives and does something. And there should be, it's all these young guys who get these flashy cars. There should be something with the team's mandate to say, look, man, you have to sign an agreement that you're not going to drive or do anything like this, X and X, because they're having so much of this. And I'm sure the insurance from every one of these teams is saying, you know what, it's going to be easier for us to rent them a car.
Or just get everywhere. Just get
a driver or an Uber or anything. Just have some driver to take them all, so they don't do this shit. It just seems absolutely ridiculous.
I feel he's gonna at least get six games. I think from the NFL has their thing detrimental to the league, and it's usually like a minimum of six. So I can't imagine Rashee Rice is getting off with less than six, because this is serious stuff. And the fact he ran away makes it a lot worse. So I could even see it being longer, but I think minimum Rashee Rice is getting six games, which is a shame, because he came off, you know, really finishing the season strong, making the Chiefs feel like they got a number one.
Yeah.
And then boom, here we go. Here we go again.
So, well, the problem is if they give him six games, he's going to drop three of them. It's it's just the way he is.
That's Tony.
Sad news about another Bills player, Vontae Davis, who passed away, 35, cornerback. Famously, it was Bill for two games.
He's famously quit at half. You can't even really now laugh and make fun of him about that anymore, you know, because he's dying.
Well, because kind of mental health. Points to maybe mental health. But, I mean, apparently, according to Vernon, his brother, he died after coming out of the sauna.
Yeah.
Which either slipping or just the sauna is like, can be intense, especially as you get older.
I don't like saunas. Saunas, I've never been a fan. I've never enjoyed them. I've never sat in them thinking, this is great. So uncomfortable.
It's acquired. Warm. Yeah, it's an acquired thing. You got to build yourself into it. But it's really good if you have a chest cold. And people are like, do you actually belong to this gym? You're like, just give me 20 more minutes. I've almost got the lucky out.
People are always snapping their towels at me when you're in there. And
you're in those are different saunas, I think. Those are the ones you're going to. Yeah.
Oh, they're not all the same. I thought they were.
No. You got to check, because if there's a flag of the rainbow coloring on the window, it's a different. Those are enjoyable as well, but not. But yeah, interesting. I also want to talk about this. So the you know, obviously in broadcasting, as we are. Always looking for work, guys. Contact us if you want. The NFL Network.
Purged
again. So Stark, Siciliano, Palmer, and Will Salva, all, he was there 11 years, all cut. I mean, Melissa Stark, she's fine because she's on NBC. But it's interesting that they've cut, you know, the NFL keeps making money. You know, they're doing well and better every year. But they've cut 5% of their staff, which makes me.
Well, I guess it's always going to be, if you want to get the bigger talents, you know, the guys like Kelsey and the guys that you got to pay them. The smaller guys are going to have to go to pay the big fish. So,
I don't think it's that, because they never really hired the big fish. I mean, they churn out talent. I mean, if you look at the hosts of the NFL Network, I mean, they made them. You know, Kay Adams was made on that show. Kyle Brandt was made on that show. All those guys were made and groomed to go on that show. So I think the way they're looking at it, personally, as someone who works in the media, either is they're looking to buy something like ESPN, or they're looking to buy their way into something where they can access talent, or they're just going to bring in a bunch of whatever Rachel's that kids. They moved the studio to LA, so we might just see a bunch of millennials who are just working for less than Reese Zammit makes a week. Hey everyone, it's our NFL stuff, just doing TikTok
videos. They're doing Good Morning Football at like 4 in the morning then.
5 a.m. Well, it's 5 a.m. they're doing it. Okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, for us in the UK, it's great. I get to watch it earlier. But if it's all bubbly TikToks and glitter feels, not so much. The one last thing I was just want to talk about, there's an interesting thing. I don't know if you follow college football, but I know you.
Not really.
Yeah, March Madness is on, which is stuff. But so they're talking about it because college football is so stratified. There's so many good teams that there was talk of maybe doing a super league, you know, if you did basically the top, you know, 10, 12 teams that are always destroying everyone, that don't give anyone a fair chance, because it is sort of, you know, Premier League in a way in college football.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's tiers. There's clearly tiers.
Especially the NILs.
Would you rather like compete to win a title of a smaller tier thing like every year? Just know you're fighting for something and that instead of just getting your ass handed to you? I mean, let's be realistic. Yeah, you probably do need something a bit like that, especially with the money coming in. It's only going to make it widen the richer from the poor, right? It's only going to make it even less competitive, some of these games. You're going to have some like 100-0 games probably coming up in the next while.
Well, I mean, you look at powerhouses like Alabama, Georgia, and the perennial ones, Notre Dame, the Michigans, you sort of look and go, man, these are always dominating. And the circle doesn't change that much. So if you actually had one, because with these NIL deals, now these athletes are actually making quite a bit of money. There's, you know, if you're doing well, there's not a lot of impetus to want to leave to go to the NFL or go to, you know, beyond in life. A lot of these kids want to stay in school. So it could be interesting to have this sort of super league where it's sort of, okay, this is where you can make your money doing it, but it's also a progress to something different. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm always interested in the economics.
Listen, where there's money, there's the way. They're probably going to find a way to do. They won't call it a super league, but they'll just slowly create it.
Something. You even realize. I mean, there's so much money there, but I mean, if you're a smaller school, there's not, as you said, the whole thing about college football used to be, it would be great if you were a small team that could make yourself into something big. You know, just like college basketball still has that ability to do it, that a Gonzaga could come out and turn themselves into a powerhouse, or even Florida State football. There was that Gulf Coast football, that kind of stuff. You want to see them compete nationally. Anyway, that's an old man ranting. Folks, that's it, I think, for this episode. Thanks for listening. Next episode is episode 300. So, Ryan,
we should do a draft. Let's do a draft one for our 300.
Well, I was going to maybe talk about the history of some of us, because we've been doing this for a long time. Some of the old stories from the sports bar. Yeah, sports bar and grill. I've got pictures of some of the old drafts we used to go to. Remember all the old training camps, all that stuff.
Oh, baby. The old days.
All that stuff. All the old good times, folks. Thanks for listening for this one. Have a good one.